You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by two groups of people. We have Jeff and Denise Heyer, as well as Matt and Kathy Boyle. Matt and Kathy have been on the program before, and we are going to be talking about one of my favorite ministries here on the Cape, the ministry outreach to the J1 students. Kathy, I think the last time we were on the program, you told us about how many kids were coming. Now that they're all here, what is the basic estimate of how many kids have come to the Cape for this J1 program?
There are approximately 4,000 on the Cape and Islands for the J1 Work and Travel program, but we've also found students that are on the J1 internship program who will be here for 6 months, and the au pairs who will also be here for 6 months, but I don't have numbers on the last two.
And how many countries are these people representing?
I would say approximately 50.
Oh, wow, 50. Wow. Now, this has been a huge ministry that's been taking place for the past several years now that I've been able to be a part of. I think when I first moved out to the Cape, you guys were just getting started with this ministry, reaching out to the J1 students. And what's so exciting about it is that you have a huge mission field right here in our own backyard. Matt, I know that you've had a huge passion for international students for a long time through your church and your ministry. Isn't it exciting to see that this is a mission field that is able to send people back to their own country?
I'm 60 years old and touching the life of world changers. We are convinced that each student that arrives here is a world changer. They've spent $1,500 to $5,000 to get here. The Chamber of Commerce thinks that summer workers, we need 25,000 summer workers. So they're not taking jobs away. They're actually making it easier in your restaurants and your supermarkets and all these things. And they come in bright, alive, and we send them back to their country. We tell them about the love of Jesus. We tell them about his saving power. We have a chance to touch the life of world changers. It's been prophesied that some of our students will go home to their nations and be the Billy Graham for their nations. How cool is it? God has given us the coolest ministry. Amen.
It certainly is one of my favorite ministries to minister and to see how many opportunities we have for these international students. Denise, this is something that I'm not sure how long you've been involved. Why don't you tell us about how long you kind of got involved and what drew you to working with these international students?
Well, I think this is probably our third year, and it's increased our activities and outreach has increased over that time period. We first got involved when we were in search for a new home church, and we saw a flyer inviting people to be family friendship partners, which was a flyer at Brewster Bible Alliance that was for Hello Summer organization, and because I've always had an interest in traveling internationally, always have had an interest in people in general and in different cultures, I just said, hey, why don't we look into this? And that was our introduction to it. We went to a meeting, and we're just taken in by it, and it's just grown from there, you know, and it's just been an amazing journey for us.
And Jeff, you and Denise are working on the Outer Cape, which is, I think, the first year that I was able to be a part of the Outer Cape. I went to three of the dinners that we had this last beginning of the summer to reach out. I think there were four or five altogether, these welcome dinners. But Jeff, this is something that has really kind of starts off with these dinners and then develops into these family outreaches, these opportunities. What are all the different capacities that we have now to reach out to these students, to welcome them in? What are some of the events that you guys have been putting on?
The events we put on, we have sponsored now two kayaking and barbecue events where students have a chance to go to a private home in Dennis that's right on Bass River. And they have an excellent kayaking launch. So we have about 9 kayaks. I have people that would bring in stand-up paddle boards, and the students are able to enjoy the afternoon, the Cape Cod weather, on Bass River, on a kayaks, on stand-up paddle boards, to swim in the water. And then as those activities wind down and the evening comes on, they're able to enjoy a nice barbecue dinner in the home. And then at the end of the evening, we gather around a campfire And this last month, we were singing all types of songs, American songs or other foreign songs that the students were coming up with. And it was just a great fellowship opportunity. That's just one example.
We really loved the dinners. One of my favorite table captains was named Adam Miller.
Yay!
And Adam Miller was reaching out to students with these incredible conversations, the questions about what's your church like? What do you have to wear to church? How do you do this? And to watch Adam just calmly, just open friendship over a dinner table, conversing with students from probably four different nations and a whole bunch of different cultures. It's a really cool thing to see people just have a vision that's expanded. How do you change the world? Well, you look around, you see what the need is, you hear from God, and you step out. We're hoping also that as the summer comes to a close, that other churches will take a more active role. We have opening welcome dinners. Essentially, we bring the cops in, talk about bike safety. We bring the banker in, set them up with a bank account. We bring a doctor in, talk about ticks and Lyme disease. And we share the gospel four different ways, we hope, at the dinners. And then every church has its own flavor. There's people from probably nine different churches making active inroads into touching the life of these world changers. And for us, that is the coolest thing. But as the summer comes to a close, we'd love to have closing dinners. Or any kind of excuse for a dinner. By the way, not party, just a dinner. And so if a church wants to be involved, wants to reach out, we have some resources available. We have vans and we have all kinds of things. And we would love for different churches to say, hey, for us to have a barbecue, for us to have a whatever. One of the fun things also to watch is how the different churches have different flavors. One of the churches did a surfing event. Probably 30 young people had their first surfing lesson, heard the gospel over a surfboard. How cool. Whatever it is that your church loves to do, we'd love to hear about it, and we would just hope that you would open your arms to these world-changing students.
What I really like about this ministry is that it is a huge open door mm-hmm. of opportunity. And I don't think most people realize how really easy it is to share our faith, especially when these kids are so interested in the American culture. And a lot of them come to America thinking that this is a place of Christianity, this is a Christian nation. So their concept of what America is has a lot to do with what our faith is. So we're able to provide for them a little bit of an insight as to what we are there to represent. Kathy, I know that you have spent a lot of personal time with these people, with these students, that they live in your house, several of them. Have you seen that their curiosity, in specific, their curiosity about Christianity is an opportunity to really hone and communicate the gospel to them?
We've had several conversations with our students. One is from Jamaica and four are from Serbia. But God can use anything, even something that's seemingly bad. Last week, my husband burned his hand when he was cooking, and our Serbian son was watching. And he said, wow, you didn't use any bad words. That shows a lot of control. And they're watching. They're watching. I mean, that just drove it home. They're watching me, you know, and they're seeing if what we have is real. And I would just like to encourage other people who are listening, if you live in a tourist area, I would like to encourage you to get involved, to open your homes to these students. They need a place to stay. They need a safe place to stay. Jeff and Denise and my husband and I, in May, we were kind of almost tearing our hair out because we're hearing stories of students sleeping on park benches in the woods in bad housing situations, and we were scrambling trying to find housing for them. So if you know that you have international students coming to your tourist area and you live there, please open your homes to them. It is a perfect opportunity to share the gospel.
We find over and over that some of the people are really intimidated about acting Christ-like in their home. They're very comfortable acting Christ-like in church, But to invite somebody into their home means that living the gospel out 24/7 with all of our blemishes, some people are really intimidated by that. And I would challenge you not to be intimidated, but to reach out, because these are world changers. You never know the end result of even an act of kindness, and particularly opening up your homes or your barbecues or whatever it is.
Denise, I wanted to find out, you know, there's a connection aspect to this where the first contact, they might be a little bit skeptical, but you're providing opportunities now for second and third interactions to where they really become a part of your family. They become a part of the group, and they're much more receptive. Have you found that over the time, the different interactions that you have with these students, they start to really open up even more?
Oh, absolutely. Your first connection with them, and you do something for them that they need. For instance, this year, as Kathy said, there were a lot of issues with housing, and we had a situation where we had students that arrived on a bus in Wellfleet, had no place to stay, and he was picking up some other students there, and when these students arrived on the bus, and he brought them back to our place, which is very tiny, and we already have two girls from Turkey living with us, and he comes in with four students saying, they're staying with us tonight. And it's like, where? And so we provided a meal for them, and then we ended up keeping the young lady stayed with us, because the two Turkish girls are female, of course, and he got a hotel room right down the road from us for the boys. And their question is, why are you doing this? You know, why are you nice to us? And we find out from our students, our Turkish girls tell us that other students that they work with are asking them, why are they so nice to you? And the girls say, they are our mom and dad. They take care of us, and they know we're Christian, and we celebrate with prayer in our home, and we also allow them to have prayer. They were celebrating Ramadan when they first were here, but it becomes family interaction. They're part of your family, and the more you connect with them following those times that you have helped them, the more comfortable they become with calling on you in a need or just sharing their lives and culture with us on a more regular basis. And we've continued from last year, even connecting with students who are not here this year, but are around the world that we talk to regularly on Facebook.
Jeff, one of the things that I think is remarkable about what this ministry does is it provides like bicycles, and it provides family interaction with the students. This is a huge opportunity that we don't even realize is such a great need for these students, because it's their only means, in many cases, their only means of getting around. We don't have late night or weekend travel on the transit system. So these kids really rely on their bicycles. I knew one student called me up just because she was having trouble with her seat bike. She couldn't get it high enough, and she didn't have any tools. So that was just one opportunity to go over and help them. Explain to our listeners some of the needs, kind of the immediate needs, that are very simple things that we can do to help out, that are ways that we can actually have an inroad, an opportunity to interact with these students and share with them our faith.
In the back of my van that I drove here to the studio this morning, I have a complete set of tools. I have two different bike pumps. I have bike helmets, and I have bike lights. I keep them with me at all times in the summer, because I never know when I have the opportunity to give assistance in repairing a bike, lifting a seat, putting air in a tire, or providing a helmet. This summer, in July, we organized a benefit concert for the Joe Petty Band, the Christian rock band that's local here on the Cape. We had about 30 J1 students present at that concert, and we were providing the concert. The concert was to help raise funds to purchase more bike helmets and more bike lights. We gave out a lot of bike helmets and bike lights at that concert. We found out 2 days later, one of the helmets we gave to one of the students from Russia, she actually, unfortunately, but fortunately, had a helmet on. She had an accident, and she said she used the helmet because she hit her head with a helmet on. Had we not had that concert, had she not been there, had we not provided her that helmet, she could have had a serious head injury or worse. So those are some of the reasons that we try to help in providing things to students, because we never know when they need that type of safety equipment.
One of the things that I've even done is now when I'm driving around, I have a temporary bike rack that I have in the trunk of my car, just in case you see somebody that's in trouble. You have a way to like pick them up and help them out, especially if it's raining and you're driving down the car. Matt, one of the aspects of this ministry I think is really amazing is just what we are able to provide for the students in a way that you would want provided for if your children were traveling overseas, correct?
Exactly.
This is just a glass of water that gives us an opportunity to do far, far more, isn't it?
Amen. We've had we've given away over 300 bikes this summer. We've put flickers on bikes. The flickers are a flicker red light. It's amazing. And we've got phone calls, Skypes from moms from all kinds of cultures just thanking us for taking care of their kids. They're students to us, but to moms and dads everywhere, they're kids. And actually tears in their eyes of how that we helped out their students or whatever. And we've had more hospital visits than we're comfortable with, but it's really a cool thing that the students are smart enough to call us when they have to go to the hospital. And so, again, we're looking for churches to help us, to pray for the students around them, to help us fund the bicycles. Our reachj1s.com is our giving site. And you can follow what we're doing on Hello Summer and on Jeff's site.
J1CapeCod.com.
It's thrilling for me to watch other churches and other good and godly people reaching out, changing the world. Denise was kind of shy about telling you about her birthday party. Her birthday party last year was an international event. Students all over loving up on Sister Hire, and just how cool that is. They actually felt that this is mom who they could have a birthday with, and they were thrilled.
Well, I think, when you're able to give people an insight into those things, I was able to take a few kids down to the Barnstable Fair. And I told them if they ever needed a ride to Walmart and I was going, I'd let them know. And I went to Walmart and they were excited to go to Walmart. And I said, well, the fair is open the same week. So I took them to the fair, and their response to me was, thank you for helping my American dream come true. This is something they had never imagined they'd be able to go to. Denise, you're able to share with them some unique experiences that they'll never forget. And to tie in the gospel to that, to tie in our relationship with Christ to that, is going to create a lasting memory, isn't it?
Yes, it does. Students that we had last year from China, Jeff presented them with Chinese Bibles, and their parent, one of the girls' parents, came to spend her travel time here with them, and they stayed with us for 4 days. And one of the most important things for them to do, her mother said, was for them to attend our church. And because the girls had been with us every Sunday, they didn't work on Sundays, and so they were able to go to church with us every Sunday. And then they would read the Bible at our house, and they're not Christian, they're searchers. But the importance of that experience and what God does with that is we present it to them, the opportunity, and then that they take that back with them into China and have those Bibles with them, and then it goes to their parents as well. So we believe that. We believe that our girls that are with us this year, there's a reason that they're in our home, and that we have the opportunities to reach out to those students. If I could say one thing, Adam, about a comment about what you said about students spending spending my birthday with me last year and calling me mom, the impactful moment came for me this Mother's Day. Mind you, we have no children. We've never had children. And we didn't plan to have any children, except that we both work in a high school and have for Jeff 13 years, me going on 10. And then we have all of these international students that we have connected with. And all of our my international students from last year were sending me Happy Mother's Day greetings. And it's like, that was an eye-opener for me, because it's like, I've never had that before, for someone to wish me Happy Mother's Day, except for maybe my dogs. But, you know, thanks to Jeff. But what a blessing that was, you know, and an eye-opening blessing that was for me, because it came to me. We think that we give all to them, but what we get back is just incredible.
Truth.
Kathy, this is one of those ministries that doesn't end once the summer's over, by any means. But you have had some opportunities now for several years to build and forge these relationships. How have you been able to maintain, and what has been some of the results of being able to maintain some of those long-term relationships after these kids go back to their home country?
The one that stands out most prominently came as a result of a tragedy. Actually, two. One of the students from Kazakhstan came to us 2 years ago, and she had no place to stay. And she had contacted me on Facebook, please, and email, please, I have no place to stay. So for 5 days, Mika stayed with us. And little did we know that she had this online relationship with this young man, and he ended up in Lake George. She went to visit him and said, I don't like Lake George, I like Cape Cod. Come down here. It was July 30th of last year. He was going home from Burger King on Route 132 in Hyannis, and he was hit by a car, and he passed away the next morning. And we were away at the Assemblies of God National Fine Arts with the youth group, and we're getting this text message, please call me, please call me. It was Mika. And she just said, I don't know what to do. Well, long story short, they wouldn't let her see the body because she wasn't a relative, but there were no relatives because he's from Kazakhstan. She had never met the parents. But she was able to, through the Kazakhstan embassy and her the InterExchange U.S. sponsor, she was able to get the whole trip paid for, both Ulner in the casket and her on the plane. I still choke up with it. Going home for 20 hours on the plane. And then she didn't go on her travel part of the program, so she contacted us in February and said, I'd like to come back. My parents have said okay, and that she had the money to travel. Could she stay with us for a few weeks and then go off? And we said, fine, and she did that. She went off. She contacted me in New York the night before she was supposed to leave. She said, is Daddy home? I need to talk to Daddy. I need to, and I'm Skyping with her. And I said, let me check. And he was out like a light. I couldn't wake him. And so I said, I'm sorry, honey, I can't wake him. I tried. And she said, I had a dream. And I said, okay. And silently I'm praying, help me, God. She had a dream of a Kazakhstan Orthodox priest, because in Kazakhstan, Orthodox, Russian Orthodox priests, they're allowed. Evangelicals, not so much in Kazakhstan because it's a Muslim country. And she said the Kazakhstan priest made a gesture, Mom, and what it was the sign of the cross. And he spoke to me in Russian, and I spoke to him in Kazakh, and then I woke up. Mommy, what does that, and she made this sign of the cross, what does that mean? And I got to share with her again about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and was able to present the gospel again to her. And we used to have this little phrase that we'd say, that's very interesting, when we were trying to tell each other about our religions, and we had had enough. We'd say, that's very interesting. She says, Mommy, that's very interesting. And so I laughed. And then she thought for a moment. She says, but Mommy, why would I, a Muslim, have a dream about an Orthodox priest? I'm a Muslim. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I pray that God will reveal to you the reason why you had that dream. And I'm still praying that she has more dreams. I pray for all the Muslim students. I have a list of 1,700 students that have contacted us this year. And I always pray for the Muslim students that they will have dreams and visions about him and desire to know him.
This has been a remarkable ministry. One of the ministries that I have said time and time again is my favorite ministry on the Cape because it has the greatest potential and the most opportunity. And oftentimes when we hear these stories, we've been talking about people coming and staying in your home or people coming to these big dinners or these events that you put on. And those are all well and good, but the average listener is probably thinking, those are probably too much of my time, too much energy, I'm too busy. What are some other ways? What are some simple ways? Jeff, why don't you give us some ideas on some creative ways to just, when you notice an international student, wherever any of our listeners are from, if you notice somebody who's an international, what can they do to just have a very simple gospel ministry in their life?
Let me start then, Jeff. How's that? Kindness is a huge, huge spiritual gift. Be kind, because often their days are busy, and some Americans are unkind to them. The order isn't right. It's not fast enough, whatever it is. Some of the young women that lived in my home one year said, Daddy, why are all of the people at church so kind to us and all the people that at work so mean? And we need another chance. So kindness is your first tool, and it means that you actually take a breath. Where's home? How are you doing? Things okay? The first conversations are amazing. And then the hires have dinners at their home, which is a fabulous outreach. Where and Jeff knows more about how to tell that story than I do, but having dinners, having kindness as your first line of connection. Yeah.
The chances of when you go to the grocery store here in the Cape Cod, the Shaw's Stop and Shop, the chances of when you check out, the if you have a young person of college age checking you out, they're probably from a foreign country. To be kind is simply to say, hello, how are you? Where are you from? And oftentimes when you ask that to the students, their eyes will light up because you are speaking with them. Many of them are here to practice English. So they actually appreciate the opportunity to say hello, or to, if they have time, to extend it into a couple more sentences of something about their experience, where they live, or what country they're from. Ask them what they study. What university do they go to? To give them an opportunity to speak English, because that's something that they come here hoping to do. And that also demonstrates the kindness that can be extended to the students. Don't treat them like just another, you know, the checkout person when you're rushing through the grocery. Slow down for a minute and say, how are you doing? Where are you from? What are you studying? Those are three good questions you can ask them.
I've noticed that you really do have to carry the conversation when you're talking with an international student. They're a little more bashful, at least at first, but they want to be in these conversations and they want to answer these questions. I think that part of the problem that we face when we're thinking about these international students is that it can often be frustrating dealing with them when they don't understand what you're asking them to do. You find them in an aisle and you ask them, you know, what aisle is this, you know, product in, and they don't know. They don't even know what you're talking about. Denise, have you found that really just a little more patience and understanding, especially when we're dealing with the international students, is essential, especially as Christians, because they're paying very close attention to how we treat them?
Yes, they are. We hear stories from the students that we daily interact with, and especially those that live with us now, of how they're treated by different people in they work in a deli, and which is what they requested so they could practice their English. They wanted to have that opportunity, but they comment about people who who speak to them with patience and those who have no respect and just take no time with them. You know, it's for me, my patients had to come in learning to speak slower when I talk to them, because that's more helpful for them and, you know, to understand and to ask them, do you understand what I'm saying? And let them, sometimes they act like they do, but then if you ask them, do you understand? They'll say, no, what do you mean? So I've learned, you know, you learn in the interactions, the little tricks and little things to ask to make sure that they're, that you're communicating well with them so that they can communicate with you. And it's all just a blessing all the way around, because we learn so much from each other.
Mm-hmm. We had a little cultural problem with our events are all alcohol free. So students came one day and asked where their free alcohol was. So we have to say no alcohol in our events now instead of alcohol free, which is...
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with some of the people in like Russia, where it's you know, just goes with every meal.
Right.
I remember some of the students asking me once, "Where's the vodka?" You know, it's just totally typical. It is a bit of a culture shock. But for our last round of questions, it's going to be a shotgun question. One of the things that I have really valued from this trip is just a desire to travel now internationally and to visit some of these places where you get to meet some of these students. So I just want to go around the table and ask, which country, if you had a choice to visit, which country would you go visit? And a quick answer, shotgun question, where would you go and visit and why? So we'll start you with Kathy.
Kazakhstan. There are so many of the students that I've met that are from Kazakhstan. Mika's from Kazakhstan. And I don't know why, but God has just drawn me to that country. So Astana, here I come.
I'd love to go to Serbia. We have Serbian students this year particularly. And as they talk, I keep wanting to say, I'd love to go visit.
Top choice would be China, because... I just am fascinated by the Asian culture. I always have been, and I love the Asian food.
All right, Jeff, you're the last one here.
Turkey would be my choice. The current political situation with the coup last month, and I think this is the bridge between the Middle East and Europe. These are a country, the predominantly Muslim country, but it is a country of seekers. And I feel that there is some real need there for more Christian inroads.
Well, I think of all the people I've interacted with over the course of this summer, I would love to visit somewhere in Europe and probably Czech Republic and visit Prague, because those have been the students that I've been interacting with the most this year. We have been joined today by two great couples here who are leading up in a very important ministry. They're reaching out to J1 International students that are here on Cape Cod working for the summer. We've been talking with Jeff and Denise Heyer, Matt and Kathy Boyle. And if you want to find out more information about their ministries, head over to our website at songtime.com. We'll redirect you or simply give us a call. So many opportunities for us to be involved in this international ministry. Our number is 508-362-7070. Thank you all for being a part of our program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.